Hi guys, and welcome to a new episode of Coffee with Kathy and Claire. I'm Kathy.
And I'm Claire, and this podcast is all about sharing our own personal experiences and struggles with modern day parenting.
And having a few laughs along the way. This show is for everyone, mums, dads, grandparents, foster parents, adoptees, everyone.
It's an outlet for all your struggles and to know that you are not alone.
So pop us on your Bluetooth in your car, headphones in while you're going for a walk, or do what I do and wear headphones while I tackle that never-ending pile of laundry.
Or just take the load off and have a coffee with Kathy and Claire.
Hello and welcome back to Coffee with Kathy and Claire. I'm Kathy.
And I'm Claire.
And we have had a busy week. It's starting to warm up here.
Yeah, I love it. I've had a great week. I'm feeling really good about the week, to be honest. The weekend was awesome. My daughter was hilarious. Really good company. I took her out for a coffee. I was just telling you about it earlier. And she was mugging a dog off.
Just copying him.
Yeah, it had like an overbite or an underbite, if you like.
It's like a French bully, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she kept hiding. And then she was like looking at it and making her teeth look like his teeth. She's brilliant. Mugging you off.
Poor dog.
Trolling. I was like, that's not kind. She's just looked at me as if to say, like, it's a dog.
It's a dog, Mum. I got some sleep.
It's always good.
Yeah, two nights in a row. Little man slept through.
Do you know, I've gone to bed two nights in a row at 9 o'clock and woke up at 7. I know.
That's a massive sleep for you.
Huge sleep. Love it.
See, I can't kind of go to sleep until at least midnight because my brain just doesn't switch off sometimes. But last night I relaxed. So, like, I was awake till about 1:30, but I was laid in bed relaxed since about 11. So I was resting, but my brain wasn't switching off.
Oh, my eyes roll back.
Ugh, I just couldn't, like, I've been starting to play that, like, Mahjong pairs and stuff on, like, the tablet just to, like, get my brain to switch off. So I'm focusing on that rather than what's coming up next, you know.
Yeah.
We've got such a busy end of the year, you know, with changing schools and moving and things after Christmas. And it's just mad.
Well, I usually just literally, I can't even tell you how my eyes just roll into the back of my head. I am watching Rome at the moment on Netflix. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's really interesting. So I'm learning about Julius Caesar. I've seen it before, but I'm actually really interested.
Like
in
a documentary or like a...
Yeah, like a documentary. Well, I suppose it's a documentary, but at the same time, they've made it into a drama, and there's some real fitties on there. Like, they are very good looking.
Another good one I quite like is History Hit. You can get it on, like, your tablet and stuff. And you do pay a subscription.
Oh, do you? Yeah, I don't generally tend to take my phone or, like, anything. Remember, I just put it on charge. Away from me.
Yeah.
Or I read and I go to bed when my eyes are rolling, which is like at the moment 9 o'clock.
Well, problem for me is if I don't go when my eyes first start to like droop, you know, I will get a second wind and that is why I'm up till like midnight. But if little man won't go to sleep, I can't go to bed until he's asleep.
Yeah.
You know, so little man being almost 5 year old with autism. If I go to bed before he does, he will not allow me to stay asleep and he will not go to sleep himself. So he's still at this, I have to lay with him and sort of soothe him off to sleep still. So in effect, so he's still a little bit of a like a baby sort of going into sleep. You know, he's got global development delay. We're going to find out in a couple of months how far along he's got. But yeah, but you know, like, we were talking last week about discipline and things like that, and I try and do my best to stick to a what would you call it, like a plan or a routine every night. Well, I stick to a routine, like, so you know, we have dinner at 6, baths and showers at 7, and then bedtime's at 8, you know. Then if it takes me an hour or so to get him to bed, then my time is after that, you know. So, but last week we did touch on parenting styles and how that can affect, you know, the way we discipline our own children.
Yeah.
But what I thought would be a really good topic today
Yeah.
was to go into all the different parenting styles.
Because there are several parenting styles that are commonly discussed sort of in psychology.
There are 12.
Yes, but there are several, that's what I mean. There's like four of the main ones with.
There's the four original styles that were identified in the 60s. There are five modern parenting styles, and there are three that are classed as like unfortunate styles. Is that five? That's nine. That's 12, right? 10, 11, 12. Yeah. So, what we're going to do is real quick just run through them, like name them, and then I think we can go into them a little bit deeper.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So the original four parenting styles were identified by I think she's a doctor, Dr. Diane Bormrand, and she did this in the 60s. And she said that there are the four parenting styles at the time were authoritative parenting, authoritarian parenting, permissive parenting, and like
Uninvolved.
uninvolved parenting. Then there's three unfortunate parenting styles, which are like helicopter parenting or over parenting. There's narcissistic parenting and toxic parenting. And then we've got the five Western modern styles. Now, each of these styles can be named, they name them by a different couple of different names in different books and
Was
researches
going
and
to say,
stuff.
because my names are
Yeah.
different that I found,
Yeah.
yeah.
So the five Western styles are positive parenting, attachment parenting, this is also known as intuitive or natural parenting, unconditional parenting, which is conscious parenting, and spiritual parenting, which can come under holistic parenting. And then there's slow parenting, which is also called nutrient, nurturant parenting.
Nurturant.
So I think real quick, we'll just, so that's them, that's the 12 of them real fast. So like if you are listening to this right now and you are like, I'm like five of those different, I'm like all of them, then that's right. It's the same as love languages. You can be more than one. But I think, yeah, it's worth looking into, and then you can also learn how to connect with your child a little bit better as well if you know how your parenting style is.
And they can all overlap. But like one of the ones you didn't mention though, which I think is quite well talked about, is tiger parenting. Tiger parenting is a style. It was even on parental control. And there's also free range. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because I'm definitely inconsistent with my styles.
I
But
think
free range parenting is one that I would definitely say that I probably do. But
free range parenting comes under the holistic style or the
okay.
spiritual parenting.
Oh,
So
yeah.
we'll have a chat about all of them. And I think that there's quite a few, like there's some that overlap, like the love languages and stuff, they do overlap. What I'm going to touch on real quickly so we can get it out of the way are the unfortunate parenting styles. And then we won't talk about them again because they are a little bit negative. So the three unfortunate parenting styles are helicopter parenting, over-parenting. So basically, the parents are over-focusing on their kids, hovering over them for small things that they can do themselves, such as, brushing your teeth, dressing yourself, things like that. They are over-controlling, over-protecting, and over-perfecting their children. This can create resentment amongst their children, and a lack of confidence because they're not confident in themselves that they know how to deal with their own, autonomy. It can also create a lack of social and problem-solving skills, and making them dependent on their mother rather than being independent, or their parent rather than independent of their parent, which is what we want in the end. We want our kids to fly the nest and be, relatively well-adjusted adults. So that's helicopter parenting. Narcissistic parenting is someone who's over-possessive of their child. It's very similar to helicopter parenting, but it's like the parent is envious of their child's independence to them. A lot of them think the child is there to fulfill their needs. So, you're my child. I'm going to make you what I couldn't be. I need you to be my parent, even, The child becomes stubborn and disconnected from the world, and they don't develop an opinion or a voice of their own in childhood, and that will in turn affect their adulthood. So they're basically being stamped out, Toxic parenting is basically the abusive parenting. Children are being verbally, physically, sexually abused. Parents are inadequate and ignore their child's emotional needs. Children will grow into burdened adults with very low self-esteem and poor self-image. If you do recognize that in some of your parenting styles, we can't judge anybody because we're not perfect. However, it's always worth going to family counseling and things like that to look into yourself a bit better. I'm not, like I said, we're not judging anybody. So what do you think about those three? I mean, is there anything you want to add to the
No, I mean, the helicopter parenting, I do think it's probably worthwhile just saying that although they do tend to have some negative reviews on it, I do feel like they come from good intentions because they want the best for the children. And it's a fear, isn't it? Which is when you're not doing self-work, then you're having fear. So you could potentially revert to that type of style. But that's the main thing for children to get is an ability to develop autonomy and self-resilience, which I think is quite important in parenting, and make decisions to be able to learn from them. So if they make mistakes, deal with your own battles. So they may have a conflict in class, perhaps with a child or a friend or whatever. And I guess my parenting would be very, very much the opposite to helicopter parenting when they put them into examples, because the helicopter parent would probably intervene. And I guess looking at all of these things that comes with that style, I would definitely be like, this is, this is something you need to sort out because this is your friend dynamic. I would never, ever get involved unless it was detrimental for me to do so, personally.
The next four parenting styles are the ones from the 60s. These a lot of these come across now. And like I said, a lot of them can be you can it can go from one to the other. Like I've read these and I'm like, well, I'm that, and I'm that. Okay. And I also have a different parenting style from my oldest child to my youngest child with a disability.
Well, yeah,
So
you have to, yeah.
it
Because
is.
each parenting style has its own effect on a child's development and their behaviour. So the ideal style can depend on cultural, individual factors, a balanced approach for all of them really work. There's no specific style that is a great style, presumably. It's more like,
I think the style works for the child. And that's, that in the end, the best style to have matches the child's personality and the way they are. I mean, a lot of children are more sensitive than others. You have children with disabilities who need a bit more nurturing than other children who are older and want that independence as well. So the four parenting styles by Diana Bormrand, and I'm really sorry if I'm saying that wrong. So we have authoritative parenting, authoritarian parenting, permissive parenting, and neglectful parenting. So basically, we have authoritative parenting. This parenting has long-lasting effects on the children. Basically, it gives them improved self-confidence and social skills, and better behaved, easier to transition to adulthood. Basically, parents are clear with their expectations, so children know what lies ahead. They encourage independent thinking and involve the children into discussions. That gives the children a feeling of security, but not being overprotective, and it gives them a sense of self-control and self-reliance.
So the style is characterized by high demands and high responsiveness. So parents set the clear rules and boundaries, but they're also warm and supportive. I think that's probably the reason why it goes so well, because they're also warm and supportive. They're not just setting boundaries all the time,
Yeah,
which I
that's
feel
right.
like I do that. That's
So,
one for me.
in all the in all of the research that we've done this week, and like we said, we're not professionals and things like that. We're going from several different sources online. So these next couple, so like this one is one of the most preferred, and I'm using inverted commas here, in the world, in the psychiatry world. This was the one that they tend to say is one of the better ones.
What, the one you just said, authority?
Authoritative. So
Yeah, of
basically you're
course.
telling them this is what's happening and you follow through,
Yeah.
and then you also give them, an opinion, and they feel secure in the fact that their opinion's going to get listened to. Authoritarian parenting is basically high demand with low parental response. So parents are demanding and ruling in every aspect of the child's life. It gives them less warmth and they feel like they're being nagged rather than being loved.
Well, there's strict rules and regulations then, isn't it? So it would
Yeah.
mean that there'd be no room for any kind of flexibility.
Yeah, that's right. So it gives it to like it's like the parents don't trust the child to make good choices and they punish the child for misbehaving. This comes under spanking and things like that. So it's physical punishments and things. And the child the child children are bound by the parents to follow the rules. So in the, and it's very strict. Follow the rules or else, you know. It can lead the child to be more aggressive, act fearful or overly shy, and gives them a lower self-esteem, less competent and difficult to engage with people. And that these type of children struggle socially because they don't know where they stand in the wider world when there are no rules. You know, well, there are rules, but not their mum or their dad's rules. You know, the next one is permissive parenting. This is also called indulgent parenting. It's a low demand and high parental responsiveness. So, loving and caring, they're more like a friend than their parent. Freedom, they give the child freedom rather than responsibility. So, rather than giving them chores, they let them do what they want after school or whatever, you know.
Oh shoot, I think I fall into that as well.
The child's opinions are important. However, this can lead to a lack of self-discipline and some poor social skills. The child is demanding and quite entitled because they want their parents' attention, and they may feel a little insecure due to a lack of boundaries.
See, this one I'm blurred on again because I would say I flip between the two of the authoritative and permissive,
But it's
but
also
the
like an attentive and warm, you know. So, like I said, we can be like four or five of these, you know. Like sometimes I catch myself being quite toxic, where I could be like, I just lose my mind because my sleep is like I need some sleep. You know, I get cranky or like I've missed a meal because the kids have played up or whatever, and you know I can get quite cranky and that. But then I think I go between authoritative and permissive as well.
I think I'll go all four.
And this last one for the this is from the 60s, so this is, would be a lot of these four would be a lot of what our parents grew up with.
Quite outdated as well, to
Yeah,
be
well,
honest.
so they're from the 60s. So we have neglectful and uninvolved parenting, neither demanding or responsive. So parents are emotionally distanced from their children. They show very little love and affection to their kids, and they avoid. They tend to avoid their children. They have very little expectations or demands for their behavior, and children, due to this, tend to exhibit criminal behaviors and a risk of substance abuse. They resist rules outside of the home and have little self-control. So these are the parents who have grown up either not receiving love themselves or the fact that they're just so wrapped up in their own heads that they don't. Basically, a lot of people would think that these parents are the parents that don't deserve children. But then, like, thinking about that in another way, like, some parents can't help not having feelings of, like, deathly love towards their kids. Like, I know a couple of people who love their children, but they never felt that I will die for you love. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I think the uninvolved parent could also come into people who are like career focused rather than family focused as well.
I don't really, I think that, don't know, it's hard to make an assumption on like why someone would be that. There could be a huge amount of factors as
Oh,
to why.
yeah.
It could even be, generational. It's just how it happens. I mean, you go back to the 30s, 40s or whatever, when they would have had heaps and heaps and heaps of kids, and all the kids would take care of the kids. If I
Yeah.
think of my granddad, God bless him, rest his soul, Gramps, love you, he's so cool, but he would have had lots of trauma on his life because his mum, my little nanny, she had, I think it was like half a dozen or a dozen kids, sorry, like 12 kids. Some of them survived, some of them had died. I think, during the war, a wall fell on my granddad, well, and brother after he come back from the Navy. And so having that many children and then all of the responsibility and the kids taking care of the kids, that might be why they were not present, but it didn't mean they didn't love them.
No,
It
of
just meant
course
that
not.
how could they share
But that,
themselves around
so
so
many
many
kids,
children, and also as well the heartache of losing them,
yeah, of course. And you kind of want to pull back a little bit because but also that is like, so when you said generational, so my grandmother, we've just lost her, she wasn't very loving towards her daughters. Like she loved them, but she wasn't physically loving, or she very rarely hugged or kissed them or anything. And we found out later on that was because when she was younger, she had suffered some toxic parenting and SA. So everybody knows what that SA stands for. It's abuse. And she didn't want her children to think that she was being inappropriate in her love towards them. So she pulled back on that love. So it came across that she was emotionally distant from them.
And you don't even have to be in that situation, in that sad situation to have that happen, because like my grandma, like my Nanny Joan, who my dad's mum, was the most awkward cuddler ever, but she was a good cuddler, but it was awkward, and she was real stern, and you'd think that she was real, like she was very stern, whereas my Nanny Biscuit was extremely, like she was just like a big squishy cushion, and so they were two really different people, but equally had as much love to give. But I will say that I feel like my Nan Joan, both my grandparents I was very close with, but she was really, she would show her love to pretty much me, my dad, it was very small circle that she would show it. But with me, she was very open. But like with it was more awkward for the men, I think. It was interesting when I think about it now.
Well, like I said, my Nana, she, for her own children, she was very emotionally distant, but with her grandchildren, she just loved them all to
Yeah,
pieces.
it's
She
funny, isn't
had,
it?
17 grandchildren or something, like great grandchildren. 12, yeah, it was a lot. There was a lot. 17 grandchildren and 12 great grandchildren, I think it
Yes, a
worked out to
lot.
be. It's heaps. It's a huge family. It's a huge family. So the next one is the five Western styles, and these are modern parenting styles. So a lot of people would call these woke, woo-woo, holistic, things like that. But I think that most of our age people, our generation, could relate to these ones a bit better because we're obviously where our parents grew up, it's a different world to where we've grown up, and it's changed again. Now we've all become parents, things like that. So these five Western styles, the first one is positive parenting. This is teaching the child to not only what you want them to do, but why you want them to do it. The first rule is to be a loving parent rather than an authoritative parent. So obey me or be punished. They're active listeners and they understand the child's thought process. Okay, so they're being more, thoughtful to the child than do what I want or else.
So they would basically effective communication, praise and encouragement. They set clear expectations, moral behavior, which I think is a really good one. And I think I did a post about it the other day. But ultimately, if you want your kids to be a certain way, they're going to watch everything you do. They're like
That's
sponges.
right.
You give them time and attention. I really like to try and do that, actually. Like, I do really try and give my time and attention, because quite often I am driven and I've got things that I want to do with my own life. And I feel like, you can read all these things when people say stuff like, it's your kids that are the most important. You have to put your kids first. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that. You do have to put your kids per first at sometimes.
Yeah.
But if you don't put yourself first
Sorry.
and you don't put yourself into a situation where you're happy, how are you going to be shining that and putting that energy out there for the
Yeah.
kids? So, I like to problem solve together with my kids. I'm really struggle with the consistency though, which is part of this type of
Yeah.
parenting, is really consistent
Do you find that you
and
jump
natural.
between one or two?
Yeah, and emotional coaching. I think I'm really like, something happened the other day with my son, and I was like, this is amazing. He just told me that he needed some time to himself. Like, he said, I just need some time out. And I thought, amazing. Like, that's so good that you've just actually been able to be aware of the fact and have that awareness that you just need to be on your own. Like, I really like that. And I will encourage that. And I do like as well, when they say about this style of parenting to have like natural consequences. So I do very much say, okay, well, you do that if you hurt yourself, you're going to need to. It's not going to, as long as you're not in immediate danger, I'm going to let you go through with that and just see how it works out for you.
Well,
And
that's
I do like, sorry?
that's the what, but why? You tell them what you expect from them, and then why you expect it from them. So I expect you to keep your bedroom clean. Why? Okay. Well, the why is because one, I've got a rent inspection coming up. I need your help. Or why? Because there has been mice in other people's houses, and I don't want them under your bed. So the next one is attachment parenting. This is intuitive or natural parenting. This strengthens the psychological and emotional bond between the parent and the infant. Okay, so this is leads to confident but sensitive children. The parent reads their cues and able to respond accordingly. Gives the child a feeling of connectiveness between the parent and the child. So I think this is the type of parenting I use towards my youngest child, because I have to read his cues a lot more, because he has speech delay. So I have to read physical cues to basically read into what he needs. So I'm more connected to him on like a mum to infant level. Even though he's almost five, it's still I have to watch. Like with babies, they cry. You've got to figure out why they're crying. I mean, with you and Delilah, I mean, she's obviously grown out of that mum baby stage.
She was easy. Like her, she was even from 3 weeks old. That baby was just an easy communicator. So I just did processes of elimination, and it was really easy for me. I found them stages quite easy, and that attachment style is very much was hugely popular in the 80s. Like it was massively popular, but people were like really worried about putting their babies down. Like, oh God, I'm the worst mom ever because I just left my baby down. But here's the thing, actually, I did leave Delilah to cry. I didn't so much Jared, and it's much harder for me with Jared. Whether that's to do with the fact that I was there, tried more of the attachment style because I was worried that, oh my gosh, what's wrong with him? But with Delilah, I was like, okay, I'm not going to make the same bed that I made myself. I'm going to do less of that attachment style, and it turned out well for me because my kid asks to go to bed.
Do
She
you
literally asks.
Harry asked last night. I was very proud of him. I was like, yep, let's go bed.
It's very rare for my son to ask to go to
Do
bed.
you think that's because he was born with his
No,
neurodivergency?
because I'm still not 100% on that. I'm blurred on the lines. And so I think it's just A, it would be have a lot to do with the fact that he taught me what to do. Like that I'm much more confident. I didn't have anxiety with Delilah. There
He
was
was
no
your
anxiety.
he
He was
was your
like
crash test
well,
dummy.
he no more so, I mean, rather than a crash test, I mean, he was more my teacher, you know? And I'm a strong believer in kids teaching us because we were kids and we've forgotten how to be kids, but they're still kids. They're still being a child. So they teach you way more than what you're teaching them, in my opinion. Like, I feel like we are definitely taught by our kids, and that's why it's so difficult to do the job, because you know that your kid's essentially teaching you what to do.
I mean, with Aiden, he's almost 12. He's showing signs of being a teenager already. People are
Yeah,
like,
bring
oh, your
it.
kids want to, pull back from the mom and stuff, but it's up to me to find something in common with him now. So like the last few weeks we've been watching Alone,
Yeah, you
on
were saying,
Netflix and
yeah.
stuff, and I'm like, okay, so you can either go and play your Xbox now for an hour before bed, or you can watch another episode with me. What do you want to do? And he's like, I want to watch another episode
Yeah,
with you.
because you've got that connection, like it, which I do that same sort of thing with I've done it with Lego, oh, what's that show? Lego Masters. Yeah, so
Because
yeah,
it's
I get
something in
it.
common that you're enjoying,
Yes.
and he wants to spend the time, and he will snuggle up on the couch,
Yeah.
and that's, I'm making the most of it every minute, because
I
I
read
know
somewhere.
that he
Well,
is gonna pull back soon.
you're in the start. I read somewhere which I thought was really true. Like the biggest breakup that you're gonna have ever have in your life is the slowest one, and it's with your son when they start to leave the nest. And it's like I'm also very, I'm enjoying the moments and the time that I've got with both my kids now. But I'm also aware that this is not, they're not mine. I don't own them. They're gonna go out and they're gonna create their own life. And I hope that I teach them good enough foundations to do the best job that they can for them. But I mean, I'm also like, not ex I don't want to push the time along, but when it comes to the teenage years, I'm like, I don't know, I'm hoping that I've done enough good enough job to take a seat back and just be like, okay, you should know the difference between right and wrong, and you should also know that you can go to someone if you mess up.
Well,
Do you know what I mean? So.
I'm torn between I'm so excited to find out who they're going to be when they're older, but also torn between my baby, and then also what's the world going to be like when they do go out
Yeah,
into it.
they're way too
And
big
that
of things for
is
me to think about.
scary. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't think about that too. I can't think too far ahead in the future
No.
because I'm terrified. Like, my new partner, he says a lot about, when they're older, when it comes to renting houses and moving out and things like that, it's becoming harder and harder for our children. It's even harder for us to buy houses, let alone our kids looking at getting into the housing market. Unless you've got old money from inheritance and things like that, it's almost impossible to buy a house nowadays, because when it comes down to cost of living versus what you're earning
Yeah.
into what the real estate is doing right now, it is almost impossible to buy a house on your own. I mean, unless you're grouping in with your brother or your
I
sister or your
feel like
partner.
I'm not sure if I share that. I think if you've got enough determination and you want it enough, you can get it. Like you just have to make a lot of sacrifice for it. You would, but you would eventually be able to get to that point, eventually.
Yeah,
But you
eventually.
would but Yeah, just to come out and get it, it's not easy, but that's what we've talked about before, like in my dad's era where he would just buy one home, live in that home, pay it off, retire. That's not how the world works now, and it's going to change for our kids, and it's just about them knowing that they have to be driven to hit their goals to be able to achieve them and not to be let down by fear almost of not doing that.
Well, a lot of my friends from my year here in Australia, we were raised, get a job, get a house, get
Yeah, which isn't
children,
the way
things like
anymore.
that. And it isn't the way, because a lot of us have had children before we got the house. So obviously, when you go into the bank, they're like, you've got two dependents, not going to happen, So it is tough for us to look at getting to that stage where we can buy a house, or we can, afford the big things, the big ticket items.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of my friends have sold everything and bought caravans, and they're going around the country,
Yeah, that's
because
cool.
why not? Because they can't afford a rental. My ex, he may have to, rather than paying for $700 a week for a house, that's a small house, and he's not even in it for 2 weeks at a time, it's cheaper for him to get a storage unit and a Airbnb for the week he's back, rather than for him to actually rent a house full time. It's I don't know where everything is going. It's a scary world. Like, I don't know if Aiden will be able to afford to rent a house,
He
or
will, he will, he will, if he puts himself into it, having that goal, he will achieve it.
Do you know, a 2x1 house was advertised for rent in our area, 650 a
Yeah, I
week.
know, I'm familiar with how the market is. It's
And I was
crazy.
like, what the?
Yeah.
I
But
don't
this is
understand.
nothing that's not in the UK. I mean, when I come over to Australia, I was 20, oh, what was I, 25, 26, and I did used to go off and work abroad and things like that. But you wouldn't be
Sorry.
able to get the home. It would be impossible in England at this stage to buy a home, but over here I think it's a bit different. But in England, like, yeah, I mean, when we went back there, and also because we hadn't had anything to build ourselves on, we were starting from scratch. And there's a big hustle that goes on. Like, you need to be hustling to get what you need. And so when you just go there from scratch and your houses are, just for a 2-bedroom flat, you're looking at $450,000. And you can buy a decent sized house here for that. But like, you're looking at a 2-bedroom, you can't even swing a cat in it. That's when the
Oh,
struggle's
it is strong.
hard. And
And
that's
no
why
matter
people
where
are
you
moving
are.
to Australia.
Yeah, but no matter where you are, I mean, I know a couple of friends in the United States. They've got together with their siblings, and they've all bought a house. It needs to be done up, and it's an old share house, so it's actually set up as
Set
like
up a
three.
flip.
It's like three different apartments, and
So they're
there's three of
flipping.
them. No, they're just doing it up and they're going to live in it as three separate apartments in the one house.
Oh, okay.
So, but they had to go on together to get it.
Yeah.
You know. So that was attachment parenting is that, you know, natural sort of intuitive parenting. The next one is unconditional parenting, which is conscious parenting, supporting and accepting the child irrespective of their behavior and actions. It helps the child gain experience of being loved, valued, and valued unconditionally. Basically, it helps them equate their actions with their self-worth. So good behavior equals approval and attention from the parents. So, you know, if they're misbehaving and they're naughty, the parents are more looking like, okay, so let's find out why you're being naughty.
See, I like
rather
this.
Than punishing them for being naughty.
This is something that I would strongly say that I'm starting to adapt, because part of my journey into, you know, a better person, better journey of parenting in particular, I think own self-reflection becomes really important in this step of being that type of conscious parent.
Yeah.
And having a mindful presence of in like, okay, well, why is this triggering me? Because ultimately, anything that our kids do is not what they're doing. It's what triggers you. It's a trigger. That's all it boils down to. So your own emotional regulation is going to then model ways for your kid to express and manage their own emotions. And I think it's really important. And I found even with my son who does not respond to punishment.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is. I could have taken his iPad away from him for a whole month. He doesn't care. As soon as he's got it back, the old patterns are going to start coming in, which goes triggers, blah, 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 blah. So the empathetic listening is something that works well, though. So practicing that understanding, seeking what their feelings and their perspective is without judgment. And it's hard to practice. I'm not saying that I'm doing it easily, but it is working more. So, for example, I will use that style in a more conscious way of being like, okay, so why is he feeling this way?
Yeah.
Rather than why am I being triggered? Or indeed asking that question as well, because I am being triggered.
Yeah.
It is annoying me. And I'll give you an example. Like, even this morning, I woke up and I was like, my son was in bed and he kicked me. So my trigger, you know, and I thought, but then I stopped myself and was like, hold on a second. I got two choices right now. I'm going to be in a bad mood or I'm going to snap myself out of this. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I got up, I had a shower, I put music on. He asked me if he could make pancakes. My usual response would be like, no, it's weekday. Da-da. And I thought, well, why not? Go for it. Make pancakes. And it was a great morning because I switched. And so I think this style of parenting can most definitely have some huge, huge advantage of, like, you know, empowerment, conflict resolution, creating support in their own mind and in their own environment.
Yeah.
So he's going to feel more connected to me. And I think I naturally do this with Delilah because I feel like she's a girl. That's probably why.
But you're helping him gain the experience of being loved and valued because you're letting him have that little bit of leeway to be himself.
That, and I think that the conscious parenting involves more of a commitment for your own self-growth than it does for what you're trying to do for your child. So the goal of fostering that type of relationship is realizing that you're raising your kid to be emotionally intelligent maybe, but also as well, you're having your own self-growth, so you're able to look at the reasons why this dynamic of chaos is actually happening.
Yeah.
And you're the adult, so you need to be the one to be able to change that or indeed make it so that it's a better dynamic.
See, it's funny you say that because the next one on the list is spiritual parenting. So this is also holistic parenting. Mm. A lot of what some people, the older generation, could call woo-woo, woke parenting. So this is basically respecting the child's individuality and giving them space to develop their own beliefs based on their personality and potentials.
Yeah.
So main principles of this particular parenting is always trusting the child. So if the child wants to make a decision, okay, this is your decision and you accept the consequences for the decision. Listening before you take action. So rather than flip going off because they've been naughty or
flipping the lid.
Yeah, rather like this morning, rather than, you know, you listen to what he wanted before you lost your shit. you know, encouraging their dreams. So like Aiden wants to be a firefighter. Okay, so how do we get you to be a firefighter? How do we get you to be a career firefighter? Because here in Australia, there's not really any career firefighters. They're more volunteers.
I think that's, you know, quite global, isn't it?
I'm not sure. But but in America, the firefighters are also paramedics. Oh, okay. So it's, I think it's a little different.
Yeah.
So you need to be a positive mirror for your child. So like you said, they will watch to be the person that you want them to be. You need to be that person as well.
Yeah.
Each day has a new beginning.
Yeah.
So, okay, yesterday was a bad day. Today, new day.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Your life, you teach them that life has a purpose. So you don't just go through life playing Xbox and going to school because you have to. You're going to school to learn, and the reason you're doing that is so that when you get older, you can decide what you want to do with your life. Your life has a purpose. What is it going to be? You teach them to use their words wisely. So, you know, you've heard that that saying that, you know, when your words like an arrow, once you fire them off, you can't take them back.
Yeah.
You know, it gives them a flexible environment. So you allow them to make the choices that they need to make. And there's less pressure. So there's not really any pressure in their, in their environment. So rather than, come on, it's 7 o'clock, you need to be getting in the bath. Come on. You know, it's 7:30, we're having a late bath.
So, you know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I agree with all of that in terms of a spiritual way or how that relates to spiritual, but like, 'cause for me, definitely I would not let him do whatever he wants with the consequences, in terms of if he had his own way or if my daughter had their own way, if they would literally get away with blue murder.
Well, it says, and
they
would trust, play like the, trust them by have a flexible environment, but I don't think it's like I want to go and sit on the roof and watch the sunset. I'm not going to let my child do that.
But it's more like gaming, for example. He would literally be on the games all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would not allow that flexibility for him to have that game all day. And I am structured with those sort of things. And actually, now you've said it, I can be like, come on, the time's 7 o'clock. So it's something to be mindful of. But yeah,
but that means that's not your parenting style. You're more of the, you're trying to be more unconditional parenting, but you're also bringing in that authoritative parenting as well.
Yeah, because there's definitely a limited screen time and much more of a focus on going outdoors for natural play or unscripted. Like, well, you got to do something different now. Use your imagination to work out what it is you want to do.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's Lego. I don't care if it's whatever. And I've just found out a new way, and this is a great tip, because even the TV is vexing me at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm like, I threaten to take away the cables, not the remote, because he can find my phone and get on that and then mirror it to the TV, but the cables, can't do nothing without the cables.
You can't do nothing without internet either.
No, you can, because on my iPad, it's built into my iPad through work and my phone.
Not on my house. Yeah. My house is, I do have it on my phone, and he doesn't he has it on his phone. However, the reception in our house is so bad that we
you do have barely,
we have to actually boost our reception through our Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So it's and I said to him once, he's like, I'll just stay home and I'll play on my Xbox. And I'm like, how are you going to do that when I take the Wi-Fi box with me?
Wow.
And he was like, oh. And the 12th is slow parenting. This is nurturant parenting. Mm-hmm. This allows space for the child to find their own interests, allowing them to be content with their own accomplishments. This is more quality parenting over quantity, being in the moment and making deep connections, slowing down and connecting. So this is very similar to the love language of being present in the moment, you know, so putting your phone down, him putting his phone down, and being together and like providing them to have their own interests. Like, so Aiden, he can try any sport or hobby that he wants. The only thing that he has to commit to is a term. So when he first did bowling, he did league bowling. He's like, oh, I want to do it. I'm like, okay, you need to commit to at least a term. So a term here in Australia is 10 weeks, you know, so we have 4 terms in a year and then the rest are school holidays. So he had to commit to a full term of doing this bowling. And at the end of the term, he decided whether he wanted to stay or go. So he did three years of bowling. And then in the fourth year, he's like, I'm kind of sick of it, Mum. And I'm like, okay, commit to a term. And at the end of the term, if you don't want to do it,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to. You know, and if things like... with like another example is like to be content with their own accomplishments, that your child may not be the fastest runner in the school, you know, but if you put them in a pool, they could smoke all the kids who are the fastest runners in the school. So their own accomplishments is how good they are in their own hobbies and their own thing that they do. So rather than comparing them completely to another child, you're allowing them to have their own accomplishments and to be happy with those, you know. Mm-hmm. So putting Aiden in the pool, like if I put him on the sports field, he's like Bambi on ice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very uncoordinated on land. But if I put him in the pool,
mm-hmm.
he's like a fish. So, you know, his accomplishments are his times that he can get in the, like for laps and things like that in the pool. His accomplishments were what his score could be in bowling, you know. So he tends to thrive best in single solo sports rather than putting him on a rugby field or in an athletics carnival.
So it's more like, yeah, well, I mean, that's experience over things, isn't it?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's in what their own experience is the thing that you want them to do. It's what they thrive in.
Yeah.
So I think schedules like that I put together is probably quite a lot because there's a lot of energy to be burnt. And my son, Delilah's too young. She just kind of like cruises along with what we're doing. But like...
schedules during the week, like after school activities and
yeah,
stuff?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, we had something on every single day at one stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty hectic and things have slowed down a little bit. But, you know, that's because of my limited... My views on wanting to limit the screen time, for example. So I feel as though I need to fill these gaps with mm-hmm. something. And I do have a very strong feeling, like where you have about the... you have to give it a term... my son doesn't really moan about or you know, he enjoys it. So he enjoys yeah. the AFL, he enjoys the cricket, he enjoys the little nippers. Like, he kind of wants to go.
Well, they're all seasonal as well, aren't they? So they're seasonal. Only like 12 weeks.
Yeah, but he hasn't gotten to that stage where he's like, I don't know if I want to do it. He just wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no real like, no, I don't want to go.
He is a lot more sporty, though. He's more into sport, like team sports.
He loves the team yeah. sports. He likes being part of the team. So, you know, but my thing that I like to do is you have to do that because you're not going to get the play time. Although I don't have to say that, it's kind of what I mean is that if you're going to want to do all of these gaming, you're going to also have to have your activity. So you need to have the activity to go well, to go then have your game time.
Oh yeah.
And like, I think for us, it's like an emphasis on family connection, especially with Nathan being FIFO.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we will do things like going out for dinners quite regularly when he's home. We have outings. We have like our own little family rituals, which I encourage to yeah. anybody. And also experiences. So we prioritise like an experience. So we try and get like a little mini vacays and things like that.
You like going to Outback Splash when it's
I love
hot.
Outback Splash.
Yeah.
I'm like a huge fan of that place because you only need to go like three times and then you're like, you made your money back. But also it's a way for me, the most important thing is creating lasting memories and broadening my child's perspectives from
yeah.
all angles. I hope that they travel. I hope that they do all the things that they love, even if it's not travel, but that's my hope. So in terms of like, you know, summing up, I suppose, like all of these parenting styles, each parenting style has its own impact on that individual
oh,
child.
Yeah.
Do you know what
and
I mean?
Like I said, it comes back to their personalities as well.
Yeah, it comes back to the personalities. It comes back to their culture. It comes back to a balanced approach of... you know, needs and the most important thing is that it's support, you know, it's supporting a loving environment that works for them best or works for your family best.
Yeah.
So there's not one parenting style in there that you would be able to be consistent with because
yeah.
you'd probably need to mix and match them and just find out which of the ones work for your family dynamic.
See, I think I'm slow parenting mixed with a bit of authoritative parenting. So because of my, I need to have the routines and stuff, but that's with Aiden, my eldest, but with my younger, I'm more attachment parenting, little bit of unconditional parenting because I have to give and take with him a lot. And then again, the authoritative parenting when it comes to down, having that, high demand on the fact that, okay, I expect you to do this at this time, but we're if we do have an off day, then we have an off day,
Yeah.
so.
I mean, geez, really, honestly, I feel like I'm just,
We're
I
kind of
feel
just
like I'm on all of them because there's ones that I want to adapt further and on part of my own journey, my own self-growth. I think the most important one for me would be the conscious parenting and probably the free range, because I think that you need to have a bit of both. But also I definitely think that there's an authoritative side. So the three of them are my main, but I would love to dig into this a lot deeper to work out more of something that's consistent to make that gel and work for the family dynamic
Well,
better.
to be fair, we all know, none of us know what we're fucking doing.
Well, I think that's the thing. We tell ourselves that, but the more that I'm starting to realize, we just need to get into the flow of what we're doing rather than, do you know what I mean? Like, that was my thought maybe 2 months ago, but like now I'm like, we just need to get into the flow to know what we're doing and then submit that with a lot of confidence and empowerment for our kids and stuff. Like, I feel like that's the journey that I'm taking anyway.
Yeah, I think we're all on a journey as parents, and we want to hear what you guys think. So if you have listened to this episode, please pop onto our socials and comment underneath the button that asks you to come and listen to this episode. So let us know what you think.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Why?
Keep coffee with Cathy Claire alive.
Guys, that's it for us today. Otherwise, we're going to run over a little bit, but we will be back. We are about to launch our Am I the Bell End Tuesdays, and you will be seeing those very, very soon. So thank you so much for listening,
Thank you.
and make sure you share with your favorite people. All right, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening, guys. You can find us on all the socials, including Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Just search for Coffee with Kathy and Claire and make sure that you follow and subscribe.
Love you all.
Bye.